हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. Give up your page 131. Give up your demoniac nature and make your mind think yourself and others to be equal. So Hiranyakashipu then would say, how can I make my mind equal to enemies? Then he answers, there are no enemies except for the mind, which is uncontrolled. When you control the mind and see everyone equal to yourself, you will not see any enemies. That is being equal everywhere. Right? So if the mind is controlled, then it's fixed on Krishna, then we don't see enemies. Right? Enemies come up because we think there's this us and them. Right? We have our standards, they have their standards. But when it's a matter of you're trying to please Krishna, then where is the enmity? There may be different opinions how to go about it, but it's all about pleasing Krishna. So if someone's making a sincere effort to please Krishna, why wouldn't that be good? Right? But because we're individuals, everybody has different ways they want to do that. Yeah? So as long as it's according to authority, where's the problem?
May interfere with our plans.
But then the point is our plans have to include dealing with those things. Right? Somebody says, yeah. Palad Maharaj continued. Addressing his father, in former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, I have conquered all enemies in all the 10 directions. End quote. But if a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. So, his father wants to be in control of everything. He wants to be the greatest conqueror. Right? But the point is that he's conquered all the enemies, that's not actually great. That he's conquered the six enemies, that's great. That person actually has sovereignty over the world. Right? Is there any place where Narad Muni can't go and be respected in the universe? Right? That's the meaning. Lord Brahma, Hiranyakashipu respects Lord Brahma. He respects Narad Muni. That's why he doesn't let him go into the house to talk to his kid, because he knows how powerful he is. Right? So, like that respect is there because they've conquered the six enemies. So they're greater than him. So all he's suggesting is, since you want to be the greatest conqueror, why not become the conqueror of the six enemies, the conqueror of the mind? Then that will make you the greatest. And you won't see everybody as enemies. As long as you see people as friends and enemies, then you're going to not be as powerful a position. Right? As soon as you conquer the mind, then there's where are the enemies. There's my friend. Yeah? Srila Prabhupada comments. In this material world, everyone thinks that he has conquered his enemies, not understanding that his enemies are his uncontrolled mind and five senses. Mana, samstani indriyani, prakriti stani karshati. Bhagavad Gita 15:7. In this material world, everyone has become a servant of the senses. So, in other words, you conquer other servants of the senses. You, as a servant of the senses, conquer other servants of the senses. So that means you're the best servant of the senses. Right? So Hiranyakashipu is the universal best, the server of the senses, like that, you know. Does that make sense? You know, Indra's small time compared to him. Right? Like that. Originally, everyone is a servant of Krishna. But in ignorance, one forgets this, and thus one is engaged in the service of Maya through lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. Everyone is actually dependent on the reactions of material laws. But still, one thinks himself independent and thinks that he has conquered all directions. In conclusion, one who thinks that he has many enemies is an ignorant man, whereas one who is in Krishna consciousness knows that there are no enemies but those within oneself, the uncontrolled mind and senses. It doesn't mean that there's not individuals who are an obstacle on getting your service done, but they're not enemies. It's just the way the modes of nature work. Right? It happened to be this particular living entity. If it wasn't them, it'd be another living entity, whoever was willing to become an obstacle. Right? You know. So in other words, getting in the way of what you want to do, it's a post. And different persons who are willing to take up that occupation, then they accept that post. Right? But it's not that they don't get reactions to being in that post. But the point is it's a post. It's not actually that particular, you know, because how is dead matter actually getting in the way? You know, you're driving along, there's a mountain, you drive around. You understand? You don't make this whole thing, this mountain is my enemy, and this and that, and, you know, next life, you watch out, I'll be there. You know, you just drive around. Because why? It's dead matter. So in the same way as those who are enemies, it's just dead matter that's bothering you. Right? Not that the living entity doesn't want to be in the position of bothering, but technically the doer is the body. It's the modes of nature. So there is no enemy. So if we control the mind and senses, then where's the enemy? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
But deism is very, very deep-rooted in deism.
Because there's I and mind. There's duality. So, if you have enemy, because you have friends. If you're equal, there's no friends or enemies. So then, where's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So that's the whole point. It's when we see it from a Krishna conscious viewpoint, then there's no more problem. But not seeing it from a Krishna conscious viewpoint, that's where the problem is. Is that something? Not being a friend. It's not that this lump of matter is my friend and this lump of matter is my enemy. That's what it means. Yes. So where's the enemies? So that means then you're equal to everyone. Unless, of course, you know, you're like Khushwant Singh or something. What was it? His editorial was called With Malice for One and All. You know, see, he was equally, you know, saw everybody equally. He would criticize anybody about anything. Right? You know, so. And literally, that was the title of his editorial. He was big. I think he's dead now. No? Or whatever. He's not. I don't hear him writing anymore. But.
With malice towards all.
Yeah, with malice towards all. Yeah, so in other words, he'll criticize anybody and anything. He also criticizes himself, but the point is his point is he just criticizes. That's what he does in his column. Does that make sense? So, I mean, you could try taking that, and that way then you're equal to everyone, but that may not work out as well. So better you take equal means, you know, you see according to nature, and then you deal with each one according to how they deal with you. So it's not that someone who's acting as an enemy is not dealt with properly according to that. For Yudhishthir, Duryodhana is not his enemy, but because he's acting like one, he's reciprocating in a way to adjust that. Right? Bhima, then Duryodhana is his enemy. But for Yudhishthir, it's not. You know what I'm saying? A Bhima is like that just for taste, you know, for the fun of the whole thing. Because if everybody was like, all five Pandavas were like Yudhishthir, then we might not be reading about them. Right? You know. But, you know, when the girls talk about, you know, the great guy, they talk about Arjuna. They don't talk about Yudhishthir. Right? But, no? Yeah, so. So that's the whole, you have all the flavors. You know, you have the younger brothers, highly qualified, but very submissive. You have Arjuna, you know, and his thing, and the chivalry and everything. Everything about him is great. Bhima, you know, his strength and his enthusiasm in that way to exercise Yudhishthir, the Dharma and everything. So all together, it's a wonderful package. You know, so it's to give that flavor for the pastimes. Okay? Originally, everyone is a servant of Krishna, but in ignorance, one forgets this. Did we do this one? No. And thus, one is engaged in the service of Maya through lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. Right? So, these are the six enemies. But that's based on what causes the enemies is the mind and the five senses. Right? Because we're only going to become inimical when the mind and the senses is restricted from what we want to do. Right? Does that make sense? And then in that restriction, then will come up these six things: lust, desire, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. Does that make sense? Everyone is actually dependent on the reactions of material laws. But since one thinks himself independent and thinks that he has conquered all directions, right? So the living entity is dependent on the modes of nature for everything to be carried out. But in his illusion, he thinks, no, I am independent, I have conquered, I am the Lord, all these kinds of things. In conclusion, one who thinks that he has many enemies is an ignorant man, whereas one who is in Krishna consciousness knows that there are no enemies but those within himself, the uncontrolled mind and senses. Hiranyakashipu replied. Right, so actually he was trying to point out for his welfare. One, how he could be satisfied, because he has conquered all his quote unquote enemies, and he has everything that he's wanted, and he's still not satisfied. So now his son is giving a way to become satisfied. And in the line of his nature, which is to conquer. So therefore he can conquer the senses and mind. And in this way, be the greatest in the universe. Right? It means if Hiranyakashipu now took his instructions, you know, sat down in his meditation, contemplated these things, and then came out to be, you know, an equipoised sage, then he would be well respected in the universe. Right? Everyone would just drop, okay, that he's, you know, not been nice up to now. Right? Does that make sense? But he won't do that, so we remember him for, you know, I say, basically more about dying. We hear about Hiranyakashipu, okay, he's a nasty guy who got killed. You know, the other points aren't so important. Right? Hiranyakashipu replied, "You rascal, you are trying to minimize my value, as if you are better than me at controlling the senses." Right, because he for, what is it? 100 years of the demigods, then he did meditation. So no one does that kind of thing, you know. So he's saying, no, I controlled my senses. Why are you saying that you're better than me? Because that's 36,000 years. His kid's only 5 years old, right? So how can you say we're equal? Okay, you've been controlling your senses for 5 years. I did it for 36,000. So why are you trying to minimize, right?
It's a doubt.
Huh? Yes, that's his doubt. How are you like that? You know? And then this is his Purva Paksha. This is over intelligent. I can therefore understand, you know, then he's bringing it closer, you know, that you want to desire to die at my hands. for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged by those who want to die, right? You know, so this way then he finishes his Siddhanta, yes. Srila Prabhupada comments. It is said in Hita Pradesh, Upadesho hi murkanam prakopaya nashantaye. If good instructions are given to a foolish person, he does not take advantage of them, but becomes more and more angry. Right? So that's why you never try to convince a foolish person. You may start, and then when you find out they're foolish, you don't. You just say, oh yeah, yeah, no, great, great, nice. And then they're happy, and then you leave, and you have no problem. But if you try to convince them, thinking, okay, I should do this service, and all, you know, 3 hours later, they still won't be convinced, and you just wasted 3 hours. Like that. Prahlad Maharaj's authorized instructions to his father were not accepted by Hiranyakashipu as truth. Instead, Hiranyakashipu became increasingly angry at his great son, who was a pure devotee. This kind of difficulty always exists when a devotee preaches Krishna consciousness to persons like Hiranyakashipu, who are interested in money and women. The word Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu refers to cushions or good bedding. Moreover, a father does not like to be instructed by a son, especially if the father is a demon. Prahlad Maharaj's Vaishnav preaching to his demoniac father was indirectly effective, for because of Hiranyakashipu's excessive jealousy of Krishna and his devotee, he was inviting Nrisingadev to kill him very quickly. Thus he was expediting his being killed by the Lord himself. Although Hiranyakashipu is a demon, he is described here by the added word Shri. Why? The answer is that fortunately he had such a great devotee son as Prahlad Maharaj. Thus, although he was a demon, he would attain salvation and return home back to Godhead. Right? So because the son is a devotee, even though the father is a demon, he'll go back to Godhead. Like that. So that's the point, is that, you know, people worry about, how you say, you know, what are you doing for the forefathers? Being a solid devotee, that's something. Right? You go back to Godhead, then, you know, then like that. So many generations before and after also go. Right? Hiranyakashipu continued, "A most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me," right? Because he thinks he's the supreme being, right? Because he's taken over the universe, so why he wouldn't be, you know, supreme? You know, at least he should be on the list, right? You know? You know. A supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. Right. So he's been listening. You know, he just doesn't like what he hears, right? But where is he? Is he everywhere? Then why is he not present before me in this pillar? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. You are most unfortunate because you have given up the wealth of the universe, which is mine. Because you are my son, you are the heir. The Lord exists. Where is he? Prahlad says, he is everywhere. Why is he not in the pillar? Prahlad, seeing the proof, speaks, I see him in the pillar. Hmm? Because he's saying he's everywhere, all pervading. Why is he not in the pillar? Because he's looking for that particular form, but he's there by his potency. You know, the pillar works. Pillar holds up the roof because of Krishna's potency. Right? The pillar is made out of a certain kind of earth, therefore it can hold it up. You know, how you say? Whipped cream is also earth. Right? But it's not exactly what you'd want to be holding the roof up with. Even if you filled the whole hall up, it still might not be enough. No? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada adds, demons sometimes declare to a devotee that they cannot accept the existence of God because they cannot see him. A devotee who has developed a genuine love for Krishna can always see him everywhere. Whereas a demon, not having a clear understanding of the Supreme Lord, cannot see him. When Hiranyakashipu was threatened to kill Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad certainly saw the column standing before him and his father, and he saw that the Lord was present in the pillar to encourage him not to fear his demoniac father's words. The Lord was present to protect him. Right? So this is Udipan. It means he's seeing the Lord in the form of his transformation of his energies. But then who is the Lord of those transforming energies? right? It means then there's the Paramatma. But where's Paramatma from? Right? So it's from Krishna. So therefore, by seeing the pillar, he remembers Krishna. Does that make sense? Thus, in all the circumstances, the devotee can always see the Supreme Lord, whereas the non-devotee cannot. Right? So that's revealed, because Krishna is in everything. If we can't see it, that's because the Lord hasn't revealed. Right? When he reveals, then you can see. So it's not about how much intelligence you have or anything, it's about how much sincerity you have in serving the Lord. That aspect will make it work. Right? That's what we're looking for. Does this make sense? So, that's why it's said that it's not because of intelligence you can understand the Krishna conscious philosophy. It's by the mercy of the devotees. Because otherwise, if that was the case, then all the academics in the world and all that, scientists, they'd all be great devotees. And then, you know, your average guy in the street would kind of be just limping along as neophytes, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point. It has nothing to do with material intelligence. It's to do with spiritual intelligence that's given by the Lord. Hiranyakashipu concluded, "Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see it." Right? So, how is he going to do? He's going to sever his head, but, you know, first he wants to see the Lord here, because he wants to also sever the Lord's head. So, you know, how you say two birds with one stone, right? Here. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Demons always think that the God of the devotees is fictitious. They think that there is no God and that the so-called religious feelings of the devotion to God is but an opiate, a kind of illusion, like the illusions derived from LSD and opium. Hiranyakashipu did not believe Prahlad Maharaj when Prahlad asserted that his Lord is present everywhere. Because Hiranyakashipu is a typical demon, was convinced that there is no God and that no one can protect Prahlad, he felt encouraged to kill his son." Right? He's not. So the point is that in anger, then you lose your intelligence. So he doesn't remember that he already tried to kill him before. He didn't do it directly. But all of his qualified servants who could kill anybody in the universe, basically, then were unable to. So he stopped. But, you know, because he thinks himself greater than the Supreme, so if they couldn't do it, then, of course, he could. So then he'll, you know, give it his best shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He challenged the idea that the devotee is always protected by the Supreme Lord. Narad Muni continued, "Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu, who was very great in bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee's son, Prahlad, with harsh words. Cursing him again and again, Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against the column." Right? So he wasn't worried that he has to kill Prahlad immediately, you know, because this is the whole point of Vishnu. So he can take care of that part first and then kill him, because he's the most powerful. So it's not that Prahlad has this, you know, way to create some politics or some other thing or some trick like this. So he's not worried about that. So first Vishnu is his enemy, then Prahlad is the servant of Vishnu. So actually, you know, for getting his anger, then Vishnu would be first, then Prahlad. You know, so, you know, he knows his priorities, right? So that's why he's successful. Right. Verses 15 to 34, the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva. To substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Nrisimhadeva, half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers when there was no one else to fight. The Lord, roaring with anger, sat down upon Hiranyakashipu's throne. Did he mention about putting asterisks there? Mm-hmm. You know, when you have this little summary, mm-hmm. then in here put those three asterisks centered, you know, because then you know that this is just an introduction.
Sure.
Narad Muni continued, you know, same at the beginning, and anywhere you have those kind of things, you know, at the you know, have here, you know, that. Narad Muni continued, "Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. My dear Yudhishthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma. When the demigods heard it, they thought, 'Oh, now our planets are being destroyed.'" They thought it was the end of the universe, right? Because it's so powerful, right? While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful tumultuous sound, which had never before been heard. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. To prove that the statement of his servant Pallada was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. That form was neither that of a man nor of a lion. Thus, he appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Footnote 38. The difference between the Lord's quote-unquote birth and that of the conditioned soul is also seen in this statement, Bhagavad Sandarbha Anuchana 47, paragraph 22. Right, so he's pointing out the Lord just appears. He doesn't have to go through the process that everybody else goes through. Whenever he decides to appear, then he just appears. You know, so it's something, and you know, there's a reason for it, so it's like, why there? You know, so it works out. But, you know. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either man or lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, "What is this creature that is half man and half lion?" Srila Prabhupada comments, "A demon cannot calculate the unlimited potency of the Supreme Lord. When Hiranyakashipu received benedictions from Lord Brahma, he thought he was safe. Since he received the benediction, he would not be killed either by an animal or by a human being. He never thought that an animal and human being would be combined so that the demons like him would be puzzled by such a form." This is the meaning of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's omnipotence, right? So he can do anything, right? He has the potency to do whatever he likes. So he does this. And so that, and why? He's doing it, one, for the benefit of his devotee, and also for the benefit of his other devotee as Brahma. Because Brahma made the statement, and Prahlad made the statement, so he puts that all together. So he appears in that form, you know, maintains the, how you say, position of Lord Brahma's benediction. At the same time, it maintains Prahlad's statement that the Lord is in the pillar. Right? So combining that, then you have something very wonderful. Right? Narad Muni continued, "Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrisimhadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain." Right? So for a cat, if their ears are erect and motionless, means they're fixed on something. Because otherwise, their ears are always moving, and they're checking what's happening around. But when they see something that they're going to catch, then they're just focused on that. So then we can see the Lord's doing that. "His nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick. His chest broad, his waist thin." Right, so all auspicious qualities. Right? "And the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon." Right, so it's not just a stark white, but it's a pleasant white. Right? "His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch, shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons." Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me? Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Srila Vishnu. So here it appears that either it's what's going to happen, but at the same time is also he's appeared, and then with all his arms and that, he's a huge form and he's killing all the demons that are there. Because depending upon what happens, he may kill Hiranyakashipu first, then the armies. He may kill the army first, then Hiranyakashipu. You know, there's so many ways that he appears. So in this time, then it worked out. Prahlad has said, you know, the discussions about the pillar, he appeared from the pillar. Sometimes he walks in the front gate. You know, sometimes he's a little too big for the front gate. You know, sometimes his form is so big, and other times then he's you know, so... It's there's a variety of the pastimes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Seeing that astonishing form, he thought and then spoke as follows. The Lord has thought of killing me by this form. Smitaha means that the Lord wanted to do this and now has taken practical steps by remembering again. What is the use of this attempt by the Lord? It has no use at all, since it cannot overcome my strength. Right? He's so proud of his strength that even there's something so amazing, he can't see it. That's the point, is that even though it's there, he's not really recognizing the position of the Lord. That's why being killed by the Lord, he doesn't go back to Godhead then. He just takes birth next as Ravana. Right, so he's dealt with the Lord, he's been killed by the Lord, so therefore he maintains a very elevated position, you know, in the way of material piety. But because he didn't understand the position of the Lord, then he doesn't get the spiritual benefit. He only gets the material benefit. Narad Muni continued, just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire, and the insignificant creature becomes invisible. When Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who is full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. Right? So the Lord's effulgence, when he attacked the Lord, then you didn't see him anymore. He just disappeared into the effulgence of the Lord. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Right, so when you have the universe, they're hollow. So he enters it, so it's dark. Right, because the original point was pradan is just dark. That's one of its qualities. That homogeneity, it's just darkness. It's just absolute not doing anything. Then when the Lord glances, then it separates. You get the mahatattva. Now it's bright. So then that position there is the Vasudeva Sattva. Right? And so then the universe is there, but it's just made of these elements, right? It's not active. So when he enters, then he gives the light to the universe. Right? And makes it bright. So it's by his arrangement only that we have darkness. Because he's in the universe, there would only be light. But he arranges it that, you know, we have the sun that will illuminate, or the lower planets, and the demons, they illuminate, and things like that. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada comments, whenever the Lord is present, there cannot be any darkness from the mode of ignorance. It is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:31. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andakar. Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Mayar Adhikar. Krishna is light, nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. This material world is full of darkness and ignorance of spiritual life. But by Bhakti Yoga, this ignorance is dissipated. The Lord appeared because of the Bhakti Yoga exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj. And as soon as the Lord appeared, the influence of Hiranyakashipu's passion and ignorance was vanquished by the Lord's quality of pure goodness, or the Brahman effulgent, became prominent. Right? So that's the actual point. is his transcendental position vanquish the position of passion ignorance of Hiranyakashipu, even though he was so bright within this universe. But he was brightness was in passion ignorance, not in pure goodness. In that prominent effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible, or his influence became insignificant. An example illustrating how the darkness of the material world is vanquished is given in the Shastra. When Brahma was created from the lotus stem, drawing from the abdomen of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, Lord Brahma saw everything to be dark. But when he received knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything became clear, as everything becomes clear when one comes from night to sunshine. The important point is that as long as we are in the material bodies of material nature, we are always in darkness. This darkness cannot be dissipated without the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is invoked by the practice of bhakti yoga. Does that make sense? So one is there is the element of darkness itself that can be brought in and out by the Lord, but the real darkness is the modes of passion and ignorance. Right? Or even just all the modes themselves. When that goes, then we go beyond. And then we're out of the darkness. You know, from the darkness into the light. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Narad Muni continued, "Thereafter the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked." Right? So this principle is that it is stating the point. So then the question, was it dark or was it light? No, the point is that these both go on at the same time. Right? So it can be indicating so many different levels. But all these levels are true. And because they're situated in the Lord, therefore there's no contradiction. Right? Does that make sense? The sun can be out, but you're in darkness because you're in ignorance. Right? So that these contradictions don't have a problem with the Lord. Narad Muni continued, "Thereafter the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisingadev with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisingadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. O Yudhishthira, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrisingadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, when? Just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods who had lost their abodes and who were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon did not consider that incident very good." Right? Because the Lord's just playing, because no, kill the guy, you know, but he's having his pastime, right? Indeed, they were perturbed. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The demon slipped from his hands. The devatas were hidden by clouds, fearing the anger of the demon who would think on seeing them, "They want to see me die." Without homes, they thought, because just in case he doesn't, you don't want to be in the bad books. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, like that. Without homes, they thought it was unfortunate that the demon had escaped from the hands of the Lord. "He has taken our homes. Now if he lives, he will take our lives." Right? Because he's seen like that. If they're just doing about their business and didn't see, then when he's worked it out, then he would come back and say, you know, "Don't worry. I've taken care of everything. You know, everything's going on as normal." But if they've seen, then they'll be considering, "Oh, you're watching so that I see me die." So then he'll kill them. You understand? That's the demoniac mentality. Srila Prabhupada adds, "When a sinful man enjoys material facilities, foolish people sometimes think, how is it that this sinful man is enjoying whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a sinful man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world as if he were not under the clutches of material nature, just so that he may be fooled. A sinful man who acts against the laws of nature must be punished, but sometimes he is given a chance to play. Exactly like Hiranyakashipu, when he was released from the hands of Nrisingadev. Hiranyakashipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Nrisingadev, but just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. So there's that moment that the guy thinks he's on top of the world, and then it all falls apart. Right? So, yeah. So just like that. So all the thing we may see, why is this thing happening? But the Lord is just playing. That's the way he gets there. You're not following, the results will be there. You're following, you'll get the good results. It's just a matter of time. That's all. Because time is the Lord's servant. Right? We're controlled by it, but it's the Lord's servant. Narad Muni continued, when Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrisingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Thereafter, taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force, making a loud, shrill sound of laughter. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, who is extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth. His eyes closed because of fear of Nrisingadev's laughter. As a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisingadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of Indra. Right? So that's strong, because you know, most powerful weapon in the universe is the thunderbolt, and then he couldn't be pierced by it. Right? We see that Vritrasura, it took him a year to cut off his head, but at least he could do it. But with this guy, he can't even do anything. Right? As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here and there and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisingadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Srila Prabhupada comments. Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promise of Lord Brahma intact, Nrisingadev placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which is neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction he would not die either during the day or night. Therefore, to keep his promise to Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is at the end of the day and beginning of night, but is neither day nor night. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Right? So, see, even he had to worry about zombies, right? You know, it's like, yeah. Therefore, just to keep the Lord of Brahma, Lord Nrisingadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons, and were neither living nor dead. Right? Because the nail is not living, but at the same time it's still growing, so it's not exactly dead. Right? So very clever there. Okay. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time they can be said to be alive. To keep intact all of Lord Brahma's benedictions, Lord Nrisingadev paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon, Hiranyakashipu. God. Shri Nrisingadev, the key.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.